Welcome to the latest edition of Auto Insider, where we're talking cars, car dealerships, and mostly crap about both. I don't know about you, but I think we're about ready to get started.
All right, Dad.
Yeah, handsome.
So today's podcast, sponsored by our partner, FindTheBestCarPrice.com. Every month at Find the Best Car Price, they research the latest cashback financing and lease deals for all car brands. Did you know that?
God bless them.
Also, can you believe it? Episode 4 and we've got a sponsor. This is incredible.
Well, let's see how this goes.
Yeah, exactly. So at Find the Best Car Price, they evaluate all manufacturer deals and share their top picks to save you time during the research process. They also have car buying guides, just like we do. They want to teach you all the different ways, the steps you can take to buy a car at the lowest possible price. Now, when you go to findthebestcarprice.com, go to findthebestcarprice.com/insider.
Insider.
findthebestcarprice.com/insider. That way we get some credit for doing this here.
Bingo, buddy.
To learn how to buy a car and get early access to their car deals when they're coming out the moment they're published, okay?
Sounds like a plan, and you know, if we promote them to the point that we think we can, they could be putting us right out of business.
You're damn right they could.
Or buying us, one of the two.
No, they really do have some good resources over there. All right. So anyway, the title of today's podcast, Dan.
Yes.
We're going to talk about how dealership personnel, salespeople,
yes,
how they're trained to actually facilitate the car deal, correct?
Well, yes, we can talk about that. I was thinking along those lines, the steps to a car sale that salespeople are trained on.
Is a good point of distinction, because no one would probably like to hear about the actual training they go through, but like the outcome of that training.
The outcome, dealerships believe that there's like an 8-step or 10-step or 5-step process the sale has to go through, and that you should follow the steps from 1 to 8 or whatever it is, and you should never go out of that order.
I cannot wait to pick this apart with you.
Well, and I remember working for a general manager who hated me when I said to our staff, I understand that there's steps, and I understand that the manner in which we want the steps to go, but sometimes we have to be flexible enough to do whatever it is the customer wants. And if it means going out of order in the steps, then let's figure out how to do that for the customer's sake.
Sure.
And the GM just shot me daggers every time I'd say it. But I believe that. But in the world, according to car dealers, the steps would go like this. The meet and greet. Hello, my name's Ray. Welcome to Admiral Nissan. What brings you here today? And the customer would answer, oh, that's great. And your name? Great. And what is it you hope to accomplish today? That's the meet and the greet. So it's very important that you have to go up, stick your hand out, shake that person's hand, whether they want you to shake it or not, and pretend that you're, well, friendly and somewhat harmless.
Yeah. Okay.
And then the second step is usually the needs assessment. Now, as a sales manager, I always thought it was important to find out not only what brought the customer in and what they hope to accomplish, but what it is that they're actually looking for in the vehicle that they're hoping to purchase. Probing questions, you can start figuring out what their buying motivations are. What's important to them? Is it safety? Is it performance? Is it the infotainment system? Is it the entertainment system? Is it the audio system? And then you tailor your presentation to what is going to float their boat, so to speak. But we're talking about cars, so what's going to get them to drive their car? And then once you've figured out, you've done a needs assessment, then the salesperson's job is to suggest a particular model that they think, if they've heard the customer correctly, what would suit the needs for that customer. Now, those are just the basic first three steps. Now, I can't tell you as a sales manager how many times I saw it go something like this. Hi, what brings you here today? Oh, really? Oh, you'd like to drive a, what was that, a new Rogue? Great. Can I get a copy of your driver's license? Let me go grab a set of keys and we'll go for a ride. What do you say? Well, my God, you didn't get anything. You got a driver's license, you're going for a ride, you have no idea what the person's looking for in a car, you have no idea what's important to the person. You just went from hello to a test drive in, I don't know, 38 seconds. Well, you're doing yourself and your customer a disservice because you don't know anything about them. You don't know anything about what they're planning on using the vehicle for. So, if you ever walk into a dealership and it goes from hello to test drive in under 40 seconds, ask for another salesman, because you are destined for a long day. And the reason you're destined for a long day is more than likely you're going to end up driving the wrong car, and it's not going to suit your needs, and then you're going to end up having to go somewhere else where there's going to be a salesman that, I don't know, actually asks you a few questions to try and figure out what you're trying to accomplish. So, I digress, and I apologize for that. So, meet and greet, needs assessment, test drive, demo. So that, and before you go for a test drive, the demo process can start in the showroom, where you do a walk around on the vehicle, pointing out the things that you've already figured out that are hot button buying signs for the customer. If it's the sound system, get them to sit in the car, turn on the auxiliary switch, and turn on the sound system so they can get a sense of how they're going to love being in that car. For me, it's always about the sound system. That's my button. My button is sound. I listen to music, and I want to hear it off of good speakers. And, well, the best speakers I ever heard will happen to be in Zach's S90 with that specialized concert hall surround sound. I don't know. It's just wonderful. So you start the presentation inside the showroom, going over from front to back. I mean, there are guys that train on how to give like a world-class walk around. And their theory is that for every $1,000 amount of the car, the walk around should be, you need to add a minute for every $1,000. So if it's a $60,000 car, the walk around, okay, should be 60 minutes long. That's great in theory, except, I don't know, at the end of the walk-around, your customer is comatose, okay, and has lost all interest in buying a car. You've monopolized their time. But you need to do a presentation inside the dealership, hitting on the things that you figured out were important to the customer and pointing them out. And oftentimes point out things that other dealerships, you know, the customer, the salesperson will never point out. Like, did you know, inside this new Rogue, it has a filtration system that automatically every 30 seconds the air filters through and it gets fresh air inside the interior on every 30 seconds.
Yeah, but Dad, I gotta jump in only because, yeah, I think you need to get some oxygen in your system. Cheap shot taken. No, but I bring that up because,
yes,
before I was doing Auto Insider for your Auto Advocate with you, yeah, I did enterprise B2B sales.
Yeah.
You remember that. I was selling, yeah, 5-6-figure contracts.
Yeah.
And there's this concept called spin selling, and it's an acronym.
Yeah.
Situation, yeah, problem, yeah, implication, need, payoff.
Yeah.
And what you were describing before in the training is like exactly how I was coached and trained. And if you can execute it well,
yeah,
it's beautiful. It's,
yeah,
and for the customer, they enjoy, yeah, it. And if you execute it poorly,
yeah,
you sound like a robot. And then if you don't follow the steps and you go, yeah, immediately to need payoff,
yeah,
AKA, and I'm thinking of this in terms of the COVID environment we live in.
Yeah.
So everything's being done virtually or through email. It's like you send in the internet lead and it's 1-0 appointment. So you got to strike a really good balance of understanding someone's situation, what their problems are, what pain they're in, then what the implications are, and then what the need payoff is if they get what they want.
Okay, and?
And a lot of salespeople struggle with that. And I think, you know, when you bring up like an air filtration system, to,
yeah,
your point before,
yeah,
of asking some of those probing questions, if the client that you're working with is interested or is hypoallergenic or concerned about air,
yeah,
quality, what's the first thing you're showing them in that for 1 minute for $1,000, you know, walk around? You're not even showing them anything else. You're going straight to the info, you know,
I get that.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you what the steps are.
Yeah,
and how the dealerships perceive the steps.
Totally understand, and I think I'm thinking about it from a consumer standpoint,
yeah.
where I've dealt with salespeople, and they've totally missed the mark with me, and then in the stories I've heard with others as well. And I think it's because that training never really resonates, but maybe my turn to digress. It just seems like the thought's there for it to be a pleasant experience, but then the execution's usually lacking. Hey, Zach here, one half of Your Auto Insider. We really hope you're enjoying today's episode. If you're ever interested, you can always get more insight into what Ray and I are doing at yourautoadvocate.com. We've got a platform that we've built that'll help you navigate the car buying process, negotiate the best deal possible, and feel more confident while you're doing it. All right, let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, and that's because salespeople are trying to follow steps that have been mandated by management. I didn't say they're the right steps.
Well, I think they are the right steps.
I didn't say they're the right steps, and I didn't say that they're in the right order. What I'm saying is this is what you should anticipate when you go into a dealership, because this is how salespeople are trained.
But also salespeople turn over all the time as well, so it's yeah. not like, you know. It's hard to find a good one, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Yes, it is. So, may I continue?
Please continue.
Okay, so after the presentation, the salesperson is told to go on a demonstration drive and actually drive the car with the customer. That's the next step. And then when they get back from the test drive, they're supposed to, even during the demo, they're supposed to be trying trial closes. And the best trial close when you come back is, why don't you park it over here on our left? That's the sold line. That's where we park all the sold cars. And if the customer parks the car there, then the salesperson knows, well, I think I might actually have a car deal here. But most salespeople don't ask that question. But that's besides, so that's the next step. So you go for the test drive, and then you find out if there's a trade-in. And that's the next step. And then you find out, well, did you like the car enough to want to own it? If we could work out all the details today, you're going to take the car home with you. And those are the steps that, as the dealership sees it. And my concept was that if a customer came in and right after the meet and greet, even before the needs analysis, the customer said, well, what's my car worth? Well, that would just, you know, it would like befuddle the salesperson. It was like he would have to go back to step number one because he wouldn't know how to handle something out of the how it's supposed to be organized. But what the customer is saying when he says that is, I understand your process. Here's my process. Here's what's important to me. So if a salesperson encountered a customer that said, okay, well, what's my car worth? Not a problem, Mr. Customer. Let me get some information on the car and I'll get my sales manager to appraise it right away for you. It's out of the ordinary, but it's what the customer requires for this to be a pleasant experience for him, where he feels like he has some control. So there are steps, but they don't have to be followed in any particular order, except, well, yes, the first step is always going to be the meet and greet, and the last step is going to be, well, hey, thank you for purchasing a car today. I'm glad we could figure it out. But everything in between those steps is open for whatever is the most comfortable for the customer, as opposed to what's most comfortable for the dealership or the salesman, if that makes any sense at all.
I mean, it makes sense. I don't know if I agree, because I think it's poor execution from a salesperson standpoint, because a lot of car salespeople, that's not their career. It's a moment in time where they're selling cars.
Yeah.
I mean, I've met plenty of people, Dad, that they're selling cars for 6 months or 8 months, and then they're moving on to something else.
Yeah, because they didn't like it or they weren't good at it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I think that these steps have good sentiment. They're there.
Intentions?
Intentions, yeah.
Yeah.
And again, I think back to my experience because, you know, these are big ticket items that consumers are buying. These are big ticket items that these businesses were buying.
Mm-hmm.
And if you start to get out of order in the steps, too out of order, then you can start selling the wrong thing almost. You know, you start going down these different rabbit holes and paths and it takes you away. And so I think the good salespeople probably either modified those steps, came up with their own flow, and were able to get people through the process in a way that was comfortable to them. But so many dealerships are staffed. It's almost like and I've seen this at some of the dealerships that you've worked with or worked at, there's like the one or two older kind of curmudgeons that have been there 40 years, that have a book of business, that retain every single customer they've ever sold.
Yeah.
And if there's a new up that walks in, they don't do a thing because they don't need to.
They don't need to.
Well, and then there's the young guns who are just trying to close everything yesterday.
Okay.
Who try and follow this training and then get completely out of whack like you were describing.
Well,
it doesn't seem like there's an in-between.
Well, there is.
Yeah.
There's Ray's five steps to a sale.
Let's hear your five steps.
Okay, my five steps to a sale are excitement, selection, demonstration, negotiation, and close. And here's how that works. You can't close what you haven't negotiated on. You can't negotiate on what you haven't selected. And you can't, and demonstrated, and you can't demonstrate what you haven't selected. And you're not going to get a customer to select something if you haven't gotten them excited about it. So in my world, it was really just a five-step program, okay? But, I mean, it was interspersed with, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand different ways it could go.
Yeah.
But you had to know how to flow through. If you couldn't greet the customer with excitement to have them in the dealership so you had an opportunity to share your knowledge with them, well, then you were never going to be able to get them to make a selection about the car. And if you could never get them to make a selection, well, then it's going to be very difficult to get them to go on a demonstration drive. And if they won't go on a demonstration drive, well, there's nothing to ask them, would you like to negotiate? And there's nothing to close on.
Yeah.
So it's really just a five-step program with a lot of little tangents that you need to know how to handle as you're going through all that. But it all starts with excitement. I'll never forget a dear friend of mine and yours, Glenn.
Yeah.
Who said to me one day, he says, I went on a test drive with a customer, a demonstration drive, and he said, I was on fire. My quack was right on. And I was so excited about the car and Glenn and what he says. And that customer got back and he was so excited about the car that he couldn't wait to get into my office so we could figure out how to make it his. I said, so what'd you figure out? He said, excitement sells. And when did you first find that out? He said, well, really, I found that out when I first started. And that might have been 30 years ago, but I forgot about it in the meantime. It's the salesperson's excitement level that becomes contagious.
Well, I mean, in all aspects of life, you get in, you know, what you get out what you put in.
Something like that.
And I think that really holds true, because also back to some of the comments I was making about staff turnover and people not necessarily being that motivated to be at work. Very frustrating. And then as some of these things that you're describing, even the five steps you just described, trying to translate them to a virtual engagement, doing it primarily online.
Yeah, well, you can do it online.
Oh, you can. You definitely can, but it takes energy and effort. Yeah. You need someone like you.
It all starts with the return email that you send.
Exactly.
If there's no excitement in the email that you send back, you're done.
I mean, this is obviously a podcast, so I can't put anything up on the screen, but holy cow,
you could, but they just won't see it.
Your understanding of podcasts is improving, Dad.
Apparently, yeah.
But the number of emails that I've gotten when I've filled out lead forms, and it's, hey, customer first name, and the font size is different.
Yes.
I
get it. You can build a rapport and a return email if you do it right.
Yeah.
It all goes back to one of the things that you've always heard me say. It's not what you say, but it's how you say what you say. Well, the same thing applies to an email. It's not what you type, it's how you type what you type. It's words that you choose to use in that email. So there are ways to do it. It's just, well, most people don't have the capability. Or maybe they have the capability, but they haven't figured out how to tap into it.
Yeah, I don't think it's a capability thing. I think it's more a
desire.
Yep,
yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's leave it there for today, Dad. We'll come back.
Did you want to buy the car? Can I sign you up? What do you say?
I'm excited.
I can tell.
So we'll be back next week with another episode. We're going to keep going down this process so that as you're navigating your car buying journey, or if you just enjoy listening to me talk with my dad, either way, you'll be able to hear us.
And if you enjoy listening to the two of us, God bless you. I mean, I'm not quite sure why you would, but I love the fact that you do. And any anything that we can do to make it more fun for you, just let us know.
Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, email address, if you want to send a comment or a question, info@yourautoadvocate.com. And if you're interested to see what we're up to in terms of how we work with people and help them, just go to yourautoadvocate.com. Any final words, Dad?
Would that be www?
Your understanding of the internet gets better every day as well.
Damn, you can teach an old man new tricks.
See you, Dad.
See you, Zach. Thanks.